KA Mobile.
Morning, Shane. KA3JCA, and Sally's getting ready for work.
Good morning.
JCA and KA4JCA. Good morning, Richard and Sally. I'm wondering if you are awake this morning.
Up about 5:30, but I didn't have the volume turned up. I didn't hear anybody, and then when I realized it was down, I turned it up at 6 and threw my call out there, but didn't hear anybody, so I had breakfast already and getting ready to take my meds and heard you in there, so I thought I'd come in here and say hello.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. Yeah, I got in my this truck, my personal vehicle, a little after 6, about 5 minutes after. Turned the radio on, but I drove a little bit and headed home before I threw my call out earlier. Just thought I'd try it again to see if anybody was around.
So are you all ready for the New Year's?
I'm coming whether we want it or not, right? I'm ready for another weekend, another long weekend.
If you have to go in tonight.
I was off Monday, supposed to work Tuesday, but had some family issues going on, and I took it off, and then I'll have Monday off next week.
Well, how's that grandbaby doing?
She's fine. She just, her bilirubin is up, because first thing they do after the baby's born is they give all the babies, or try to do a vitamin K shot, which they don't need, which makes their livers not work properly. They can't, they get an overload of the vitamin K. For some reason, years ago, they decided that babies needed a vitamin K shot, but they don't really, and that's what causes the jaundice. So they had to bring her back to the hospital to put her under a sun lamp. But she's fine other than that. So I saw her Christmas Day, got to hold her a little bit, but she basically slept. But she's doing good, so I've been seeing some videos, her eyes are open, she's looking around, more alert. So, doing well, thank you.
We'll keep you guys in the prayers and so forth like that, yeah. I can relate to that vitamin K, because they do it when you're born, and of course, as you get my age, they start pumping you full of vitamin K again, because your body just gets rid of it when you're on diuretics and have diabetes there. So there's a couple times they put me in the hospital there and had to put the bags of potassium in. And, of course, because of the quantity that's needed, I guess they're limited to a max of 2 bags. And I had to ask, but I asked them why one day, and they told me because that's the same kind of stuff that they use when they put you under lethal injection to put you to sleep, so, or put you out. So, when it goes in.
Goodness, I didn't know that. I didn't realize you were also, or they were treating you with vitamin K sometimes. I didn't realize that.
I didn't realize it either, Shane. I've had diuretics before, but it just depends on which diuretics they give you to get rid of some of the excess water and so forth. And there's one that's really nasty. I think it's called Metellazone or whatever, but that's one of the ones that, like, flushes away all the vitamin K. So I have to watch constantly. I almost have to have blood work like you do for when you're on Coumadin or something. I'm on a different type of blood thinner, so I don't have to have that. But one day, my potassium could be like in a certain range, and then if I'm not careful, the next day it can go above 5, and then there's times it goes below 3, and I mean, it happens so quick.
The thing is, most of the medicines that, you know, help whatever conditions we have, they also come with all kinds of side effects. And they got to monitor those. So that's tough when you're on that kind of medicine like that. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So you and your wife have any plans for New Year? You guys going to stay home? You going to go out to a New Year's Eve party? Celebrate? Get on the radio and let's shoot off fireworks at midnight? Hi, hi.
got my antenna with bottle rockets, attach the tie them up with the fuse, and then kick up the power and see if I can light them. That's what I'm going to do.
Go. Hey, listen, I know Beth doesn't have her ticket, but I was going to tell you, if you have your GMRS license, the Pickens, or Caesar had one, there's one in Pickens, and then Powdersville, is the information is all online and updated and so forth like that. So I've been letting people know that when their spouse doesn't have a ham ticket, the GMRS is like that family radio that they can use, and one ticket covers the family. So, but they are up and running on Caesar Head.
She is not interested at all in getting on the radio. She, I've tried. She won't do it. So, but yeah, we're gonna be at home. I think a couple of the kids are gonna come over. My youngest daughter just found out Tuesday night at the emergency room that she has a cyst on one of her ovaries. The cyst is 3 times larger than the ovary, and it's causing her a lot of pain. And she is possibly scheduled for surgery today. But not only that, she's got her other ovary is completely wrapped up in scar tissue and stuff. She's only 27. They were, you know, wanting to have kids soon. But she's got to have this surgery. And they said if everything goes well, she should still be able to have a child. But she needs to do it soon because it's just going to get bad again if she doesn't. So they told my wife she would have she had the same thing. They said you need to have kids before you're 30. That'll help this kind of condition. And if you don't, you know, you won't be able to have kids after you're 30. So it looks like it's hereditary. But anyway, if you pray for her too. Her name's Gabrielle. If you think about her, hopefully it can get done today. There's another surgeon that he wants to be in to kind of take the lead, and he's was supposed to go out of town this weekend, so he's trying to catch him, see if he can help do the surgery today.
We keep Gabrielle in our prayers, and thank you for sharing that, sir. And we'll put her on our prayer list here. So that's always a good thing to pass around and spread around there. If she goes through the surgery, are you going to take off tonight?
Depend on it, because it should just be, you know, her husband will be there, Beth can be there if she needs to be. So they said it normally is fairly routine. I mean, it's a big deal. There's a chance she could lose one of her ovaries. It just depends on how bad it is when she gets in, when they get in there. But right now, I'm still planning on working, but kind of keeping an ear to the ground for it.
Well, I hope or pray that they also can do it the arthroscopic way, where they can go in just like they do the gallbladders nowadays. I will tell you that about 3 years ago, I had a gallbladder attack, and I kept telling them before that it was my gallbladder, and they wouldn't listen to me, and lo and behold, one morning at church, I just was not feeling good, and I ended up coming home, told my daughter Ashley, I said, Mom's working, let's go to the emergency room, and I went, and it turned out they took my gallbladder out real quick.
I don't want to mess with the gallbladder for some reason. I mean, I understand, you know, if it's healthy, if it's not the issue, you obviously don't want to mess with it, but I've known several people that have ended up having to have their gallbladder out, and it took them forever to convince the doctors. They would just, they shy away from it. They just try to tell them it's IBS or this or that. It's not really the gallbladder, and then it turns out to be, and, you know, they went through a lot of tests and a lot of other procedures before they got to that point.
Within four, is that okay? Yeah, I was going to tell you, Sally was just reminding me that the surgeon, when he did the surgery, he explained that he was glad that I made it there in time, because all the ultrasounds and the other stuff that they had taken prior to, the ducts was blocked, the stones were so big, I had so many stones in there and so forth like that, but had I not gone to the hospital, if I would have just, like, put it off as, okay, it's just going to go away and, you know, just pain in the back and stuff like that, it probably would have ruptured.
You know, I've heard of that happening, and it's not good when that happens. So, and speaking about Gabrielle's surgery, the doctor told her if they get in there, he said it's pretty bad. You got a lot of scarring in there, and he said if we get in there and it's worse than we think it is, they have a doctor colleague who does the robotic surgery, which is very precise. And he said if that's the case, we will. I don't know if we're there how quick that'll happen, but he said that would be the next step. It'd be the robotic type surgery.
Pray that they have him on standby and that he could get there. And it's hard to say because when people are in the hospital and the surgeons are on call, you never know what's going to happen or what's transpiring at the time when they schedule the surgeries, because most hospitals have two or three operating rooms going at a time. So, and it's hard to say who gets pulled for what. I often worry about that, like with my cardiac issues, you know, like I've got one that I trust and so forth like that, but if something happens and he's in surgery, then lo and behold, what am I going to do if something were to happen?
And they stay busy, too. I mean, I'm certainly wouldn't want to be in that field. I'm not gifted in that way, obviously. I'm just a truck driver. I can do other stuff, but this is where I ended up. But definitely wouldn't want to be in the medical field.
I never wanted to be a surgeon. I did want to be in the medical field. I did want to go to school and become a doctor. But when I had my accident, Shane, I lost my leg and so forth like that, I kind of lost interest. But I will say that probably 4 or 5 years later down the road, I had to go to an urgent care. And when I was in there, the doctor come walking in, and he had forearm crutches because he had a problem with his leg. And he continued on, and at that point, it made me realize I could have gone and became a doctor still. I would have been just a general practice type thing, but I kind of lost interest and just got out of it altogether. So now I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none.
I know you've been involved in a lot of stuff. Or, you know, I heard you talking about photography yesterday. I didn't even realize you did that. So sounds like you've led a full life and done a lot of things.
And it all started back, believe it or not, back in Delaware. You know, when I got stationed in Delaware, I worked and became an EMT, and I actually had done everything that was required except for take the National Registry Test for the EMT, and I was going to try to go on and move on to become a paramedic. Of course, that didn't take place, and have my pilot's license, and granted, I haven't flown in quite a few years, and it makes it difficult now with heart conditions and diabetes. So that, and I took up scuba diving, and I got my dive master rating and master scuba diving rating with Patty. So then I'm, like I said, you heard me talk about photography. I was a Disney photographer for 5 years, and I loved it. But I've done that since high school because I was on the yearbook staff. And let's see, got into ham radio, love camping, camping, hunting, fishing, you name it.
That's a well-rounded career or activities, hobbies anyway. That's good. I've got a buddy at work that scuba dives. I've always thought it might be interesting, but I just have never gotten into it. There's other things that I think would be interesting. I don't have the... It's not really the motivation. I just feel like I don't have the time and to pick up another hobby, and then some of the equipment you got to get a hold of to start some of these hobbies. I don't know if I have that much of an interest in it. So I'll just enjoy other people's stories and pictures and videos.
There is one thing I forgot to tell you. I did skydive. However, I did not do that for very long because at that particular time, my wife Carla and we were married and we were living in Delaware, and her and I both got into skydiving, and I know she pursued it a little bit further than what I did, but we were at one of the airports. Let it drop and reset there. One of the airports over there in Maryland. It's not Easton. I'm trying to think of the name of the airport that we were at, but we were there the day that somebody jumped and panicked and got their hands tied in their shroud line, and then half the people on the airfield spent the rest of the afternoon looking for the body. They had an idea where it went down, but they found the body eventually, but it was one of those sad events.
Yeah, I've never been interested in skydiving. my oldest son Ethan, when he turned 18, that's what he wanted to do. He and a buddy and about three or four of them. And we went down with them. Went down into Georgia somewhere, and they did the little training, and then we watched them jump out of the plane. And he loved it and had a blast, but he hasn't done it since. He just did it that one time.
Since I looked into it, I'm not sure if it's correct or not, but I think now they require everybody to, like, do a tandem jump first. But I think when I was looking into it, I mean, we went through jump school, you rented the rig, and you did all your first few jumps were static line and so forth like that, so where it pulled the chute for you. But it was just one of those things that after seeing that, I decided, you know what, I don't want to do it anymore. And people would often ask me, why would you want to jump out of a perfectly good plane? And I would tell them that when you saw these Cessnas and these planes that they were flying, I mean, they were stripped down to bare metal shell only so that they could carry lots of passengers at a time.
They might not have been perfectly good planes. They were just enough to get you up there because they knew if they had a problem, everybody had to shoot. But also, that would make an impact. Well, no pun intended. That would make a seeing somebody not their chute not open like that. That would affect whether or not you wanted to jump. Even though that's so rare, you know, there's multiple car accidents every day and people get killed every day, but yet we just jump in our cars and drive like there's no tomorrow. So it's all about what we're used to.
You say within four, is that okay? Yeah, I know what you mean. And you talk about car accidents, you know. You give a person a driver's license, and some people drive without a driver's license, and they go out here and kill people. You got the people that do the guns, they abide by the law and buy guns correctly, and people get guns incorrectly and they kill people. And it's amazing, you know, how that somebody gets shot, they want to take the guns away, and when somebody gets killed with a car, they don't say anything about getting rid of the cars.
I know what you mean, which means it's not really about the death, it's about the political motivation, because more people get killed in car accidents, and we still, you know, we still use them because everybody needs them, or most people need them. Anyway, I know what you mean, but Richard, it's good to hear you this morning. I'm about to pull in the driveway. I appreciate the ride along. I was getting a little sleepy there. I'm ready to hit the sacks. Hope you and Sally have a great day, and a happy new year if I don't talk to you. And really good to hear you this morning. KA3JCA N4ZLK 73, Richard. I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, Shane, you and Beth have a wonderful new year, and get some good rest there. You need it, and so forth like that. And we will keep Gabriella in our prayers, and as well as you and your rest of your family there. And hopefully we will talk to you before the New Year's, and I'll have the radio on later this afternoon in case you go into work or in case you're going to the hospital. Either way, sir, I'll have the radio on throughout the day. 73 KA3JCA and KA4JCA clear.